What it is?
This is
the Macho Man Randy Savage.
And this is
Hard Factor. And there is no one that does it better.
Right now, yeah.
Nobody does it better.
I ain't repeating myself. Go ahead, tell me something right now.
Yeah, and I'm living in a nightmare.
And I'm not a racist. And I'm always cheering.
Oh, yeah.
We don't have a good morning this morning because Will and Wes are off, but it is August 5th. It's Monday. We have Kate Barstow on the show. What's up, Kate?
Hey, thanks for having me.
How are we doing? Mark is here with me.
Yeah, I think we don't have a good morning also just on purpose because it's a somber start to the show.
Not a great morning today.
Yeah.
But I will say this. We're in a sweaty garage and Wes kind of tricked us into going on another vacation day.
Yep.
But he left a bunch of Trulies open in his garage. So when we got in here, there's just no less than 140 flies.
At least 140
just
flies.
Flies everywhere.
The good news about that is they only lay 100 eggs at a time and only about five times a day. So those should be gone in no time.
Right. Yeah. We noticed it probably started as two flies and then over 3 days, it's 140. So just keep doing the math.
Yep. So just
by the time the show's done, there'll be 200.
Exactly.
I was really excited. I got here to the studio, like was really stoked to have dinner, which I couldn't have because there's that many fucking flies.
You brought in fried chicken and now they're all over your box of fried chicken.
There's
just 100 flies in your box of fried chicken. At least you're trapping them over there.
Yep.
A few of them have died in my sweat puddles. They've just drowned.
Yep. So thanks, Wes. Let's just get into the stories here. So Mark's going to take one about mass shootings.
Okay. Yeah, I am.
Okay, that's all we got. And then Kate and I are going to take you through a news buffet. Mark, take it away.
Today's episode of Hard Factor is brought to you by CBDistillery.com. I live in Texas, which means I can't buy weed legally for the next 20 years, but that's okay because I can buy CBD legally and I can also buy it online and have it shipped to me legally. So take that, you Alamo protecting, gun toting, very nice and hospitable, enormous state you. CBD offers many of the health benefits of marijuana, but without the high, which means it's 100% legal and requires no prescription when you shop at CBDistillery.com. Listen to what their customers say. 5 stars, I highly recommend CBD to everyone. It's done a complete turnaround for me. Another customer wrote, excellent product, makes a big difference in my health. It's not a great review, but it's true. And this one from me, Hard Factor Mark. I buy CBD from CBD Distillery all the time because I live in Texas, as I stated earlier, and we will never be legal here. So if you haven't tried CBD for whatever health concerns you have, you really should, but where you get CBD products is very crucial. With independent lab tests and nearly 250,000 customers, CBDistillery.com are the folks I trust. If you've got health concerns, you owe it to yourself to see what CBD can do for you. Go to CBDistillery.com and enter Factor for 15% off. Again, enter Factor for 15% off at CBDistillery.com. That's CBDistillery.com. Okay, this is not going to come to news or as news to anyone, but there were multiple very tragic high death toll mass shootings since we last talked with you on Friday. I mean, what the fucking fuck? In El Paso, a dickless racist loser shot up a large Walmart right near the largest mall in El Paso where 300,000 people were shopping. At least 20 people have died from that shooting and another 20 plus were injured. Then about 12 hours later in Dayton, Ohio, another young virgin shot up the popular downtown Fifth Street area, killing 9 people at the time of this recording and injuring over a dozen others. This fucking piece of shit was also rocking an assault rifle, semi-automatic type weapon like the Walmart shooter, but this time the Dayton guy had some body armor to boot as well. But luckily the cops in Dayton got to that psychopath about 30 seconds or less from the first bullet he fired, so they probably saved a lot of lives with their great and brave work. Shout out to the Dayton police force on being heroes. Quite a lead-in. Anything you want to unpack there, guys?
I mean, it's just fucking horrible. You go into a Walmart, you're shopping on a Saturday or a Sunday, and you just get shot for no reason.
Basically, or you go to a bar in Dayton, Ohio on Saturday night and you get shot. So.
And this was, I mean, a week ago we had the Gilroy shootings at the fucking Garlic Festival. It's like,
yeah, Garlic
it's
Festival.
Not even surprising anymore, sadly. You're like, oh no, fuck.
Where can you go? I was watching the Quentin Tarantino movie this weekend. I was like, I hope I don't get shot. You know?
Yeah, it's a weird cycle because I don't know. The Walmart's interesting. It's just I've never there's not been a shooting like that where like it's like a super center where someone's walking around with a weapon. Also a place where they sell weapons, which is weird and ironic. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what to say about it. This is just sad and embarrassing and infuriating all at the same time. Mass shootings are a sensitive subject for me, as I'm sure they are for everyone, and have impacted a lot of people at this point. I was a senior at Virginia Tech on April 17th, 2007, when 50 people were shot and 32 died. Luckily for me, I didn't have many classes, so I had like a four-day weekend, and I was not shot, and I just knew people secondhand that were shot, like my senior year roommate's coworker, my good friend's sorority sister, and a high school acquaintance who I bumped into that later that night at the candlelit vigil, later that night after the shootings. And I talked with him and he was crying, and I said, are you okay? Like, what happened to you today? And he told me he had to jump out of the second floor of the building because he was being shot at to survive the shooting. And then he cried in my arms and told me that all of his best friends were killed that day. So, I mean, we cover these stories of school shootings and mass shootings on the show because we are a news show and that's what we do. But I'm just getting sick and fucking tired of it. And I mean, you were in the military, Kate, and I'm not naive. Almost everyone has had some tragedy in their lives or dangerous situations they've had to be involved in and survive. But these mass shootings in our malls and our movie theaters and our schools just seem so senseless and unnecessary. It's just nowhere safe, it seems like.
It's crazy. And Fort Bliss is right there, which is a huge military base. And I follow this big ton of veterans on Twitter, and I saw two separate people who were deployed tweeting out, "I hope my family's okay." Like, they're deployed in a war zone and they're worried about their families back here in the States. It's just absolutely crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, you know, Kate, you pointed this out, that there was a veteran in the Walmart who was on his Instagram stories, just walking through the aisles being like, "That's an AK-47, like just unfazed by it.
Yeah. You can see that his adrenaline's pumping, but he's trapped inside the Walmart and he's walking back and forth down an aisle. He has nowhere to go. And he's just out loud. He's like, "Well, I hear an AK-47 and you can hear it in the background. And he's just like kind of in shock, but he's like, I don't have my gun on me. I don't know what to do. And he just is pacing.
Yeah. He goes, "Someone just got shot." He's like in the video, he goes, "Someone just got shot right now." Yeah.
Yep. He's just like completely in shock. But then Army PFC Glendon Oakley Jr. made the news. There was play areas. This was also a huge mall, like you guys said. And a kid ran in to the mall and screamed like someone's shooting, because everyone was back to school shopping that morning. It was like 10:30 on a weekend right before everyone goes back to school. And this Army PFC, he got so many kids out. They said he just kept running back in and getting all these little kids out who were screaming for their parents and everything. Yeah. So
kids in the mall were completely separated from their parents. It was like a stampede. The shooting didn't actually take place in the mall, but the mall people didn't really know that. So they were just like running for their lives. And then this guy grabbed a bunch of kids and like kept them safe.
And Mark, you said, I know we're going to get into it a little bit later, but you said that this guy had a manifesto. And what's
the El Paso shooter did? We will get to that in a little bit. So, I mean, we joke a lot on the show about how the shooters all have micro penises, and I am sure that is the truth almost every time, but that doesn't really help things. The sexy school nurse hired to give all kids in her school a hand job that we've referenced by the age of 13 is more in lines with the solution.
To give some context, that's our solution.
Well, also,
that hasn't happened yet.
It's also obviously a joke. I think, joking aside though, they probably could do something in schools in particular, like with a new sort of role or a modified role of like a social liaison, kind of like a guidance counselor who specializes in identifying which kids are total losers and outcasts instead of like which kids need to go to which colleges. And that person makes sure that these kids aren't sitting alone at lunch, and that people are having conversations with them and maybe making friends, or at least the staff is being nice to them. Because I guarantee you that along with having tiny dicks, these mass shooters also just don't have real friends and friends in real life. It's just not something they have.
And just so we're clear, we're talking about micro penises, not tiny dicks. Having a tiny dick is fine. These guys have micro penises.
Incredibly tiny penises.
Yeah, but the truth is, Mark, it's like a lot of times people talk about it being mental illness, and a lot of times it is, but those things can be prevented. Being mentally ill does not mean that you're going to shoot a place up.
No, and I think some of it's compounded, right? If you're mentally ill and no one's talking with you and calling you a loser and bullying you, that yeah, I don't know. But I don't have any answers. It's a tough...
And I think... I think, too, so much from the manifesto was taken directly from quotes on certain news channels and from certain leaders of the United States of America. And I just feel like it's such an ugly environment that if you are a little off, it gets in your head. And then the one thing that I think is, to me personally, people can shit on me all they want, gun control is it to me. Like, mental health, all that stuff aside, a lot of mentally ill people not going around shooting up places, and this is just like, we can't pussyfoot around it anymore, I feel like.
Let me get into both those things you mentioned. So Donald Trump finally came out on Sunday and said, perhaps more needs to be done on gun control. Perhaps that should, Donald, which was interesting. All along with he authorized.
Keep in mind, this wasn't an elementary school that got shut up. That happened 4 years ago.
But it is good that he is making that statement with, you know, his. It's interesting. So things might change. Along with, he authorized the lowering of the flags to half staff at all federal government buildings until Thursday, August 8th. Trump is getting skewered online, and rightfully so, for specifically the El Paso shooting, where the shooter had a racist manifesto, as we mentioned, and as both Kate and Pat alluded to. He drove from Dallas to El Paso to murder as many Mexicans as possible, in his own words. And look, the send her back chants and the rhetoric Trump spews about the border in Mexico is not acceptable. Let me make that clear. But the mass shootings cannot be pinned on Donald Trump and his administration, in my opinion. They've been happening forever. They've been happening for the past decade consistently, well before 2016. I think that you can't point fingers in these scenarios. It's better to, like, you know, come together and try to find a solution, even though it might not be easy to do, at least talk through solutions as opposed to pointing fingers. Also, the gun reform is tricky. I am not a gun owner. Pat is, Will is, half of Hard Factor is. We have gun sponsors. We have a Second Amendment, right? I think we've jumped the shark on how many guns are in circulation. Buybacks and banning of guns, probably not possible or effective. That would lead to, like, law enforcement getting shot. I do think the government can pass some federal laws or better background checking, closing loopholes maybe at gun shows or whatever. But there's always going to be a way for a psychopath loser to get a gun, and there's just too many in fucking circulation as is. So outside of making these losers, like, have to describe, I think they should have to describe, like, three human friends they hang out with in person, not just in a virtual lobby when they are doing, like, a background check. Like, you have to name three friends.
Oh yeah, I get a phone call once a month from a friend who's trying to get a new job for a reference. Like, hey, can you give a reference about these people? That should be the case for gun control. Yeah. Give me three names that I can call.
Yeah.
And they can't be named Jerry.
Describe them, their characteristics, and describe what you guys do when you hang out.
Yeah, and what's their hair color, or are they bald? Where do they live?
If you don't have three human friends, you can't get a gun.
That's true. I'm sorry, you can't.
And those human friends who vouch for you, there should be a written contract where if you do fuck up and you are a complete small dick loser and you go do something like this, that those three people then, like, okay, say yes to this person, but then you get doxed or something. Like, you have to sign off. Like, fine, if this person does it, you can dox.
Oh my god, that's a great idea.
Yeah, they can't be. They can't. Yeah, they get in trouble for vouching. Then
public shaming. And public shaming.
If they have a dox on their record, or like an ex, like, so they were used as reference, and then that person shot some people up, they can't be used as references anymore. So, like, I do wanna, that gets rid of them as that option.
I do want to say one thing. So Rebecca, who works for this show, is a Mexican American woman from El Paso, and, like, she's one of the best and most hardest working people I know. Oh, pretty much everyone that works for or with me is Mexican. And it's like, or they're Mexican American. It's like, what the fuck?
What the fuck are you doing?
You're going to shoot up Mexican people who help, first of all, are some of the hardest working people in this goddamn country. Help make our economy fucking run.
Yeah.
And they're dreamers. They're people that came over here because they loved our country and wanted to be a part of it.
That one strikes close to home. You know, obviously, for reasons Pat mentioned, in our proximity, where we live and the people we've met in the past 10 years in Southern Texas. But again, that's one instance of 249 mass shootings. There's no one cause or one sticking point, as we mentioned. It's not just mental health. It's not just racism. It's not just gun control. It's a lot of things, and I don't have an answer for it. Let's take it to the internet, where Neil deGrasse Tyson wanted to fucking butt in on it and give his opinion. He said, in the past 48 hours, the USA horrifically lost 34 people to mass shootings. On average, though, across any 48 hours. Voice. On average, across any 48 hours, if you look at our solar system, we also lose 500 to medical errors, 300 lose, these are people that die, 500 to medical errors, 300 to the flu, 250 to suicide, 200 to car accidents, and 40 to homicides via handgun. Often our emotions respond more to spectacle than to data. So he says, everyone, stop worrying about the mass shootings. We have other things to worry about. To which Smath Mouse said, fuck off. There's your data.
Fuck you, Neil deGrasse Tyson. People have to get better when they're sick. People have to drive their car to fucking work in places. Suicide is a whole different issue.
We don't need mass shootings is the point.
These are all unavoidable things, motherfucker. What are you saying that this is not that big of a deal because we lose people to other fucking things that are It's like, I got hit by a bus on my way to work. Shut down buses. We're not saying that, Degrassi Tyson.
Smash Mouth, who hasn't been relative since Shrek 2, came in from the top ropes.
Yeah, those are the guys that can't take a joke on the internet, by the way. Follow Smash Mouth on Twitter just because they get trolled all day long. Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
All right, I'm sorry for, you know, that story.
Let's take it to some more fun shit. Yeah. Kate, you want to kick off this news buffet?
Daily news. That baby juicy tape.
Oh, yeah. Boy. Yeah, sure. It's easy transition here. From that to French hoverboard guy, guys. French hoverboard guy. After failing at the attempt 10 days ago, Frenchman Frankie Zapata successfully completed a 22-mile hoverboard flight across the English Channel in just 22 minutes on Sunday morning.
That's awesome.
At speeds of more than 110 miles an hour. He was propelled by a very safe-sounding power pack full of kerosene.
What?
Yes, kerosene, which is not super flammable at all.
As a pyromaniac, as a guy that started fires my whole life, I've actively avoided the accelerant kerosene because it's too dangerous for me.
Was this engineered by the Rocket Man from like the 1940s themed era Disney movie?
Are you talking about Billy Campbell, the Rocket Man?
The Rocket Man.
I waited on him one time. Such a nice guy. So ripped.
Well, somehow that kerosene got him there. He took off from France and landed in southeast England, and he only stopped once to refuel his futuristic invention from a boat. He said also that his leg muscles were burning by the end of the flight because the board is attached to your feet. Not because of the kerosene. Because he had been skipping leg day, and the board's attached to your feet, and you're fighting 110 mile an hour winds across the fucking English Channel, which is crazy. But, you know, guys, I've heard of a Frenchman with a cheese board but a hoverboard.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey-o.
Killer joke, Kate.
It sounds a little dangerous. I'm glad he got across, and it sounds fun and looks fun, but like kerosene and your legs are fighting against it the whole time. That doesn't seem very safe.
For those of you who don't know what this guy is, this is the guy that showed up at Bastille Day like the Green Goblin and was just cruising around. It's not like a hoverboard. It's literally the Green Goblin. That's what he's got.
Right.
Yeah.
He's not like floating 2 feet off the ground going slow. He's like hundreds of yards in the air going like 80 to 100 miles
with
an hour.
With an assault rifle usually.
Giggling with an assault rifle, yeah.
Yeah, yep, I do feel like we missed out though. Like I feel like he would have been super cool in the 70s, but I feel like too much time has passed. But also, if you were in like an elite military hoverboard unit, you would get so much ass. And
oh my God.
Like
Everyone would
slamming ass.
Everyone would be showing up at the recruiting station saying, I want to be the hoverboard guy.
But right, your legs would be so tired, so you'd have to kind of just hope for blowjobs, I guess. Would you even be able to have sex?
You could get whatever the fuck you wanted if you were a hoverboard
I know, but
guy.
Your legs would be cramping.
You think that, oh my God, you'd wear your sweet hoverboard suit around off base?
Yeah.
Can you imagine getting a blowjob on a hoverboard?
I mean,
what a treat.
I can imagine.
We're going to get to a similar story, I think, at the end, right, Pat?
Yeah. Let's take it over to this Brazilian escape artist. So Clavino da Silva is a genius, y'all. He's also a Brazilian gang leader known as Shorty, who was busted this weekend for trying to escape from a high-security prison in West Rio de Janeiro. The plan was simple, y'all. His 19-year-old daughter came in to visit him with a pregnant woman in tow. And the reason for the pregnant woman is that there's a policy in this jail that pregnant women can't be searched.
Of course.
You following? So inside of that pregnant woman, her unborn baby was clutching a silicone mask, glasses, and a cute outfit that mirrored the outfit that Shorty's 19-year-old daughter was also wearing.
Right. So all the pregnant women just tape breakout supplies onto their belly.
Well, I said that it was inside her body.
No, it was just taped to the
belly. It's possible that it was just up her dress, but I don't know how women's bodies work exactly.
Sure.
And I like to think that her unborn baby was in on it.
You think?
Maybe. Yeah. Anyway,
for sure.
Yeah. So Shorty changed into skinny jeans, a pink t-shirt with donuts and love hearts on it, complete with a bra underneath. And then he put on the silicon mask that they'd smuggled in, which was designed to look like his daughter, but fit over his head. And then he had a wig and glasses, and he started to make his way out of the prison, leaving his 19-year-old daughter behind in his cell.
Ah, so they thought, okay, the pregnant lady and the daughter are leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Two came in, two come out.
But the real daughter is actually in his cell because he switched her. He flipped.
Did they put a disguise? Did they put a dad disguise on her?
No, I think they just. I don't know what the logistics.
They
of the
put her in go short khakis with big New Balance sneakers and high socks. I think.
Exactly. Yeah, he had like a. She gave her like a huge mustache.
Right.
Anyway, this guy made it to the outermost door of the prison, but then he was busted because he was acting strangely.
He just kept shouting, "Where's the women's room?
Yeah,
I need to use the women's room."
He's like, "Oh my God, I'm having my period."
Yeah.
Do you want to fuck me?
Yeah.
He was acting how
anyone
he thinks.
Anyone else's vagina hurt?
Yeah, my vagina is itch. These things itch. Yep. Anyway, that's that.
He got caught. Good try, though.
Ugh. Well, speaking of getting caught, you guys, when a 54-year-old man robbed a Cleveland bank last week, he forgot one small detail. The note demanding money that he gave to the teller had his full name and home address on the other side of it.
Damn it.
Authorities say the man, you hate to see it. Authorities say the man had used the blank side of the document from the Department of Motor Vehicles to write his bank note, and then they were able to easily identify him, and a warrant is now out for his arrest. Once again, guys, the DMV is just a huge pain in the ass. It's just really, I blame the DMV for all this. And the guy probably just needed money to pay for his registration. But now he's the one who's going to get impounded.
Nice.
That's why we have her on the show.
Nice.
That's why we have her on the show. Okay, so Frederick Sterry Smith of Florida wanted to take his lady out to eat for a cultural experience, but not too cultural. And that's why he selected Milagro Latin Kitchen in St. Augustine, Florida. And unfortunately for Smith, the experience was a little on the spicy side.
Flaming.
Yeah, with the waiter really showing off his Latin flair. You may say rubbing the couple's noses in it. And when it was time to settle the bill, Smith had only one recourse, and that was to leave no tip to teach his flamboyant waiter a lesson. But as a man of principle, he thought he needed to give an explanation, so he wrote in, quote, if he wasn't gay on the tip line.
Ah.
Yeah, that way there would be no confusion, and maybe it would give the waiter a little something to reflect on when he realized that his gayness is putting a hurting on his bottom line.
Well, that's not going to change. His bottom getting hurt from the gayness?
Mm-mm.
See what I did there?
Oh, yeah.
But what does he mean? If he wasn't gay, I would have left my normal 10%.
Yeah, I would have given him the 10 he deserved for working
it's
hard.
Worse.
Yeah, the waiter showed... Oh, go ahead.
I actually, when I was in Charlotte for a NASCAR race earlier this year, I saw a shirt that said, I support LGBTQ, Liberty, Guns, Bible, Trump, Barbecue. And it was a guy wearing it unironically in a restaurant on a Saturday night, like a nice restaurant.
Not
and
offensive
maybe it was
at all.
That guy, but I was like, I can't believe these people still exist.
That shirt is pretty fucking awesome, but you'd want to wear it like around, you know, gay people that know you're joking about it, because it is an awesome shirt.
Yeah, the gays need to take that shirt back is what they need to do.
Yeah.
The
Liberty, Guns, Bible, Trump, Barbecue.
And then Barbecue, which that was like, we need a B. All right. we need a Q. Yeah, the waiter showed the note to that Smith had left behind to his manager, who chased Smith out in the parking lot to confront him. A coworker said that Smith told the manager that he would fucking rip it up in her face before forcing it down her blouse. And that's exactly what he did.
Followed through.
He ripped the check up, shoved it down her blouse, touching her breast as he did it. Probably a strategic move to let her know that even though after being in close proximity to a gay waiter for an entire meal, he hadn't been infected and was still straight as an arrow.
This guy's just teaching life lessons left and right. Stop being gay. Here's a tit grab for you, ma'am.
You come at me, I'm gonna touch that tit.
Yeah.
Fair game.
Quite a showing, really.
All right, talk about the man who poisoned his wife.
Indeed, love is in the air. A Michigan man was sentenced to 60 days in jail for poisoning his wife's coffee with the active drug found in Benadryl. Brian Kozlowski's estranged wife felt tired, nauseous, and had blurry vision last July after drinking coffee that Kozlowski had prepared for her.
What a shitty poisoning.
By the way, I take Benadryl every night to go to sleep.
Yeah, this isn't that bad.
Yeah, it sounds awesome.
Right.
Yeah.
She had filed for divorce 2 months earlier and became suspicious after that. So she had cameras installed in their kitchen, and videos later revealed Kozlowski had been pouring diphenhydramine, the active drug in Benadryl, into his wife's morning coffee, intentionally poisoning her.
I kind of love this because it's really romantic.
I know the angle.
Yeah, she tried to divorce him, and he was like, it's really romantic because she's like, he's like, if I can't ever, nobody can.
No, he wasn't trying to kill her. I know what the angle was. He's trying to like make her confused and kind of go insane. So she's drinking coffee and getting tired and questioning her body and questioning her own sanity. And unbeknownst to her, when she tries to like bring up divorce, he's going to be like, you don't know what you want, do you?
Right.
You're confused all the time.
Look at her, judge.
You're up when you should be down. You're tired when you should be awake. Like he's just like, you need to just be not confused.
Why don't I get you a cup of coffee here?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's just bizarre. Especially, I feel like it's a rookie move to put that stuff in something that she knows is supposed to wake her up. So right away, I would be like, something's wrong. I'm drinking coffee. I feel like tired, though. Like something's off. I don't know. Put it in my booze. I wouldn't notice a thing.
You got a dead Kate. You got a dead Kate.
Yeah, because then he could say your drinking has gotten worse. You get tired or quicker. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's a really poor poisoning on this guy.
But they reconciled, right? They reconciled. They got back together.
They did. Love. No, just kidding. They're definitely officially divorced now.
So. Oh, that's sad.
Sad news.
Damn.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, in a recent interview, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood star Margot Robbie was asked where the craziest place she ever had sex was. And her response was on a jet ski.
There's the hoverboard callback.
Mm-hmm. That's
it. Could you imagine Margot Robbie on a hoverboard?
Oh, big time. And that's really the whole story. I just thought it was kind of cool. I wonder if that jet ski is available for rent or purchase. I'm going to be doing a little bit of digging. And that's going to do it for Hard Factor. Thank you guys for so much listening. Kate, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks.
Can you imagine giving Margot Robbie a blowjob on a jet ski?
Yeah,
I'm going to try tonight. anyway.
What are you doing? I'm just smelling my Margot Robbie crotched up jet ski.
I was doing an outro, guys.
Yeah, all right.
All right. So follow us at Hard Factor News on Twitter and Instagram. Give us a review on iTunes if you can. It really helps us out. Helps us grow the show. Hey, also tell someone about the show. Tell a friend if you like what you're hearing. Help us make this thing bigger. Will just quit his job. So we got a ticking time bomb on our hands. You know what I'm saying? I'm just kidding. Have a great fucking day.
See you later, yeah!